We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
But we serve a good God. Amen. We serve a God that is good and whose mercy endures forever. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. Now, if he's a good God, then I should be excited about coming into his presence. I should be excited to come into the house of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. We don't have to come to church sad. We can come glad. Amen? Hallelujah. This morning, before I go into the message, I'm going to have my mother come and share a testimony or two or three or however many you have today of just what the Lord has been doing in your life. Why don't you go ahead and share with everyone?
He knows that I usually have more than one. I've been actually meaning to share this one testimony since a while, and then since yesterday I have a second one, and my son learned about it. But you know what? It is so easy when you hear a testimony that you in your mind think, yeah, well, it's easy for him or it's easy for her. You know, when you hear about testimonies of provision and it comes from the pastor, you think, yeah, well, he's in ministry. Everybody knows he's in ministry, so you want to give to the ministry. Or, you know, when you... But for me, even though I'm the mother of the pastor, I still have to lay hold of it myself. And how do I lay hold of it myself is through the Word of God. The last song, I just loved what we sang. His Word is truth. His Word is power. And taking the Word and making it real, come really alive to you, and not like the born again part, that we are accepting salvation and we're taking the acceptance of that we are saved through Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And it, for most of us here, probably it's fairly easy to take that, but there is more to the Word. And just a disclaimer for when you hear a testimony, you have to always hear for yourself from God. The Word is the same, but how it applies to you. So last year, I decided to quit my job and to step out of the boat of the provision that I can provide by myself and walk on water, trusting in Jesus. I've done that before. When I was 25, I left everything behind, went to a foreign country with a one-way ticket because I knew God was leading me. And I never had lack. I always had more than enough and could bless others and give away. But, you know, then life happens, and this was now a big challenge. And I stepped out and did that. And I thought, well, I still have my business. I had started a direct selling business in 94, many years ago. And I was like, I'm figuring I can make that what we need to bring in. Well, it didn't go so well. There were some issues with the company and so forth. So I'm like, oh boy. You know, but my trust in his Word, and that I had heard him too, and I didn't react overnight. It was like for 1.5 years I knew that was coming, and then I set a time and I stuck to it. I've had not one need, but a gift was given to us, really timely. And my husband says, you know, it really doesn't pay all what we need. It must be seed. He gave that seed. And I was like swallowing because I pay the bills in our home. I've always done it, you know. So I had to swallow. But I'm no. If he hears from God, it's right. And I've been to the healing school. I was accompanying my sister because she had battled cancer. But what I learned was so much more. So it was everything. The Word of God was energized vitalized, became a new power, a new truth in me. And I learned how to, and I'm a Christian for how many years, and I'm learning, you know, and everything that I learned was amplified. It's everything that Pastor Jeremiah preaches, but when you hear day after day for many hours, for 10 days in a row, I really laid more hold of it. And I know that Andy and Sarah can confirm the same thing. So I laid hold of how to speak the word, how to take it. And actually, on Wednesday night at 7, I will share specifically on that, what it means to meditate on the word day and night. You know, I always thought I would have loved to become like a Pentecostal nun, because then you have actually a reason to just, you know, study the word, do good, share, you know, and it's like your job. So... But evidently I didn't become, you know, how that looks. And so I have been speaking, you know, the word and praising the word. And I have a new lightness, a new energy, I'm nourished. I'm with the word. I'm so vitalized. I could jump up and down and that at 60, you know, but truly I laid hold of that word, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man lay into your bosom. And I've been saying every day, and every day man will lay into my bosom. Well, I had yesterday a cash and carry event from the direct selling business that I had, and it was 4 times more than what I usually sell. And I have been just praising the Lord. His word is true, grabbing hold of it. And it was not, I was not talking myself into it. It was like I had that shield of faith, which is based on the word of God. It was not my own imagination, no, it was the word of God taking, and whatever error would come, telling me I should think different, think about past experiences, you didn't do this, you should do that. It was like a shield, it ricocheted. It didn't even penetrate, as soon as it hit my head, I had the word ready with a smile, with victory in my mind. And because I've been praying, saying, speaking out every day, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And a conqueror is not a defensive. A conqueror conquers. He goes in. It's not staying where you are. No, you go further. Before the healing school, and that was job related, my wrist was really starting to bother me more and more and more. And somebody clearly said to me, carpal tunnel, you better take care of it right now. If you don't, it will get worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, no, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. One day, you know, I said, okay, I have to take one of those things that you, a sling, to hold my wrist solid, not moving, you know, so that it could heal. I have grandchildren. I couldn't even carry my grandchildren without it hurting. Or when I was in kids' church, it was really hurting the following day, that in the night, and everything. So I'm like, no, I hear the word, and I hear the word, and I hear the word. That's my faith is built. And I stand on the word, I take it, and I lay hold of it. And I had kids' church that one day, and I knew I needed to come to church to get prayed for. And in my kids' t-shirt, I came up right there. Pastor Jeremiah prayed for me. The following Wednesday, I had not complained. I had taken the sling off that I wore that day. He said, Mama, Mutti, I want to pray for you. I went forward. He prayed. Literally. I'm not at 100%. 80%. I have not worn a sling. I've not worn nothing. I can lift my granddaughter, as you saw, you know, everything. It's no problem. At healing school, I was proclaiming the word and the word and the word. I'm not going to go to any doctor. I know I'm healed by the one who says, I am the Lord who healeth you. And in his wounds, you have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. I'm standing on the word. The word has more power. You know, who has given doctors more wisdom than the one who created doctors? You know, I'm standing on the word. And so since then, I would say it's 95%. The only time I feel still something is in the night when I turn. And I am in the night. My husband probably hears me speaking in tongues. I am saying the word. And I know it's It's a matter of time, and those tiny, toony 5%, they have to go. It's because I stand on the Word of God.
Praise God. That's awesome. Over the years, I've noticed it's a dangerous thing when you give a German a microphone. I'm just kidding. I asked her if she would share that, of course. It's awesome. So financial provision and a healing, and we're going to believe with you for complete healing in your wrist. And that actually goes right along with what I'll be sharing this morning. I'm going to be sharing along the lines of confession, and not the confession that you might think. So also, on the, just to clarify for anyone that might not be a student of the Word, when my mother quoted the scripture that men were giving into her bosom, it might not be what you think, all right? No, you pronounce it correctly, very correctly, but bosom has a couple different meanings, and, well, you know, what it actually meant was that, like, you know, back in the day when they were wearing, like, a toga or whatever you want to call it, they're wearing, like, a curtain or something, I don't know, they used to fold it in a certain way so that there was, like, a pocket right here, and they called that giving into the, that's the way the King James translated it, giving into your bosom. It just meant that they put something in your pocket for you. But I always think King James translation can be a little funny like that. Sometimes you just wonder, like, man, I don't want, you know, I mean, I know it's scriptural that the Bible says that men are going to give into my bosom, but men, just steer clear from my bosom, all right? You know? Well, praise God. So as I said, I'm going to share this morning concerning confession. And, you know, if you're new to the church or if you're new to God's Word, I would say typically when you bring up the word confession, it comes with a negative connotation that you're going to be confessing something that you've done wrong. Maybe you're confessing your sins to the priest or confessing to a crime that you committed in front of a court. In a courtroom. So that tends to be the first thought that many people have when you say the word confession. But if you've been attending River Church long enough, you know that there's a much different side to confession. And that's what my mother was alluding to as she was confessing the Word of God and believing the Word of God. And confessing the Word of God simply means speaking the Word, speaking the words of life. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. And partially the reason that I want to share this is because How many of you know someone that's recently been sick, you know, from flu or cold or whatever? Yeah, I mean, probably at least half of everyone in here. And I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. You know, even myself, you know, a couple weeks ago wasn't feeling the greatest. And I believe strongly in faith and I believe strongly in healing. And I've been really dealing with this, Lord, why is it that, you know, in a church where we preach on healing, where we preach on miracles, where we preach on faith, why is it that there's so many of us that have struggled with sickness over these last few weeks? And look, you might think, yeah, well, that's just a natural thing. The flu happens in the spring, it happens in fall and change of seasons, and that's just a normal thing. I don't know about you, but I don't belong to this world, all right? I belong to the kingdom of heaven, and what normal people are subjected to on this earth, that doesn't matter to me, because I walk in the kingdom of heaven. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God, amen? And if you're an ambassador from somewhere, you represent that government to the people that you're amongst. And so the Bible calls us ambassadors of God, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And so if that's me, then I should be representing to the world what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And maybe if you have, like, you know, some strange doctrine, you might think there's sickness in heaven. But I've never found a scripture where there was an angel in heaven that had the Hong Kong flu. I've never found a scripture that said that God came down with the measles this week. I've never heard of a scripture where anybody in heaven lacked any good thing. Where you know, you go to, everyone knows, you go to heaven and you struggle no more. right? And if we're ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, well, then we should live like it. And so I got very frustrated. I got very frustrated with the fact that I was feeling sick. I got frustrated that my family was feeling sick. I got frustrated that members of our church are feeling sick. And I thought to myself, what can I do to change this? What can I do to make sure that next time, quote, flu season is around, it's not going to impact our church in the way that it has? So what are we going to do? We're going to teach and we're going to learn from the Word of God and we're going to build up our defense against this. Because, you know, the devil, he's not going to give you a free run in life. He's not going to let you just, you know, have whatever you want. You know, we can believe in prosperity, we can believe in health, we can believe in blessings, but he's not going to let you just take it for free. He's going to do whatever he can to stop you. So that means that we have to do something. We have to prepare ourselves that when the enemy tries to come and rob, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, that but Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly, that we're embracing the abundant part of life. Amen? So we're going to talk about confession because whether you realize it or not, you're creating your existence every single day by the words that you speak. And so that's what we're going to dig in. You know, the last few weeks, I've been sharing on faith and hindrances to faith. And this ties right in with those messages. We're going to be talking about faith by confession or faith released by confession. But first, let's just review a little bit of faith scripture. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 1. Did I say Hebrews chapter 1? I was wrong. I meant 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, you can go to one, but you're just not going to be able to follow along. And I want you guys to read this with me. I mean, read along with me. You don't have to actually read it out loud, but I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and I want you to follow along. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want you to repeat that after me. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hallelujah. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We serve a God who's a rewarder, not a punisher. Some people think that God's upstairs with a big stick just waiting to whack you with some sickness, waiting to whack you with some poverty, waiting to whack you with some struggle. No, we serve a God who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know about you, but if God is rewarding people that diligently seek him, I'm going to do my best to diligently seek him. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became their heir, the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Sometimes when you go out in faith, you don't have a clue where you're going, but you know that this is what God's called you to do. It's where God's called you to go. And you know that it's going to be good, but you're not sure where you're going to end up. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city of God, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith. This chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is the faith chapter. It goes through the heroes of faith, through the Word of God, that by faith they overcame many things. So we understand here that faith is absolutely essential, that faith is the key ingredient, really one of the key ingredients to Christianity. By faith, we're saved. It's our faith in God. But not just our faith in God, it's our faith in God through confession, through saying with our mouth that we believe that he was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. So, here's the thing. I don't think that there is a shortage of faith in this world. But rather, I think that there is a lack of understanding as to how to appropriate that faith, as to how to make that faith work for you, as to how that faith causes us to become an unstoppable force that the devil cannot touch, that sickness and disease cannot touch, that poverty and lack and depression and sadness and hurt and all these different things, that they can't touch us. So we have to learn not just what faith is, but how do we take the faith that we have and use it. And I believe that through this teaching of learning how to use our faith, that we can deflect and repel any attack that would ever come against us. That you will literally become an unstoppable force for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I have this frustration with the amount of sickness that's been around. I have a frustration with having to attempt to get a loan to buy a building. We're the king's kids. We serve the king, right? We're his children. The king is blessed, amen? We shouldn't, as the king's children, have to struggle and lack and wonder, how are we going to provide for ourselves? How are we going to be able to do this? We shouldn't have to go to the world's way of doing things. We shouldn't have to go to the bank to ask for the money to be able to do what God has called us to do. The word says that God owns the silver, the gold, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, his very streets are paved with gold. When you get to heaven, there's 12 pearly gates. What does that mean? Those things are carved, those gates are carved out of one gigantic pearl each. That's a big pearl. Could you imagine the clam that hatched those things? Man. I mean, I'm not a fan of that kind of seafood, but if you are, imagine the buffet that you'll have in heaven when you get up there and there is a clam that hatched a pearl. I mean, a pearl is like a fraction of the size of the clam. I mean, that's one gigantic clam. Need I say more? So, hallelujah. There's no lack, there's no sickness, there's no nothing in heaven. So we have to learn how can we appropriate that here in our earth walk so that for the next, I don't know how many years you guys want to be around. I'm about to turn 30 this year, and I would say I want to be at least around for another 60. You know, after that, you know, you start to just lose control of things, you pee your pants, you know. You got to wear an adult diaper. Look, I just don't want to go that route. I'm going to be like 90, and I'll be like, that's enough. I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord, if the Lord has not returned for me before that already. So I want to make sure that the next 60 years of my life are good years. Years that I'm living in the blessing, not in the curse. So that means that if I want to live the next 60 years of my life blessed, I got to figure out how I can do that today. How I can begin to change the trajectory of my life. How I can form and shape my future. And by the end of today, I believe that you'll see that you have the power to do so with the words that you're speaking. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. You can turn there. This is a very important scripture. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you find one, you can find the rest. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm not an English scholar, okay? But I do understand some basic things about the English language, and I'm just going to ask you to help me confirm with me, what tense is that written in, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing? Past tense, right. The Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Some of us are waiting for a blessing from God. We're waiting for God to bless us with health. We're waiting for God to bless us with joy, with peace, with prosperity. We're waiting for these things, but unfortunately, if you find yourself waiting for those things, you're just going to keep on waiting. Because He's already given them to us. You know, there's like an old Pentecostal expression when it comes to talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you find sometimes if you visit Pentecostal churches, you'll find somebody that's been attending the church for 20 years and they'll say, I've been waiting on the Lord for 20 years to give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. A spiritual blessing, right? They're waiting on the Lord to give something that the Lord has already given. You know, I love when Andy shared the other week about how he had to make the decision to open his mouth to start praying in tongues. And as he did, the Lord then, through him, gave him the unction and the ability to pray in tongues. But as long as he would have sat there and just thought, like, I'm just waiting on the Lord to give me this blessing, it never would have happened. I was in the same boat for 6 years. Never would have happened until I understood that I have to take action on this. And this is just one example of tongues, but there is many things where we're waiting on the Lord to bless us, but the Bible says that the Lord has already given us every spiritual blessing available to us. Has given us. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Turn over a couple books to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 and 14. Also, essential, very important scriptures. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you want to read the curse of the law, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first like 15 verses talk about the blessing, and then there's like 50 verses about the curse of the law. I'll just tell you, spoiler alert, it's not pleasant. Destruction, famine, sickness, poverty, struggle, anxiety, all of that belongs to the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. What tense is that? Past. He's already done it. Some of us are waiting for Christ to redeem us from the curse of the law, whereas Christ is waiting for us to take the authority and the dominion that He's already given us over it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, if you're from somewhere, you're not there anymore, right? If you're from one place, you're not there. If I'm from Albion, that means I'm not in Albion. If I was in Albion, I would say, I'm from here, right? Does that make sense to everyone? If you're from a place, you're not there anymore. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. So where are we? If He's redeemed us from the curse, then we must be in the blessing. So Christ has already done the work. He's already purchased. So many of us were waiting for God to deliver us from the effects of the curse, but Jesus is saying, no, I already did that. I already died on the cross for you. I already took the keys from hell and from death. I've already given you life, life abundantly. I've already given you every spiritual blessing that's available to you. I've redeemed you from the curse of the law, and I've translated you into the blessing. So it's already done. Which brings the question, why then were so many of us sick? over the last few weeks. Why? If he's already done the work, it's because we have not correctly appropriated the word of God. We have not we've not made the word of God an absolute authority in our life, and we've not been confessing and speaking and walking by the word of God enough. Myself included. And sometimes you just have to go to the mirror and have a tough conversation with yourself and say, listen, buddy, you missed it. You got to do better. You got to do better than that. Right? Because Jesus has already done it for us. So let me ask, is it a lack of faith? I don't think so. If you come here long enough, you probably believe in healing, you'll probably believe in miracles, you'll probably believe in prosperity. And part of the believing in those things means that you have faith for it. So I don't think that it's a faith problem. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have no faith, you got to hear the word of God, and then faith comes. So as we're in the service this morning, as I'm preaching the word, faith, if you allow it to, faith will rise in your heart. Because when we hear, and hearing by the word of God, faith rises. I don't think faith is the problem, though. Here's what I think. I think it's not a lack of faith. I think it's lazy faith. What do I mean by that? What is lazy faith? Lazy faith is faith that isn't being used. You see, we contain all the potential in the world. God has already given us these blessings. He's already said that he's done all of this stuff for us, which means that we have unlimited potential. He's put all of this, all these gifts inside of us. He's given us these talents. He's blessed us with so much. He's already sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. He's given us his written word of God. He's given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's given the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. He's given these things to us. We have so much potential, and yet many of us are not walking in the full potential, not walking out, not claiming what rightfully belongs to ours. The potential is there. It would be like if you were in Texas and you were walking in Texas for miles and miles and miles and miles and you kept hearing like, you know, I always heard there's so much oil in Texas, but I never see any oil in Texas. And you're just walking around looking all over Texas. I can't find the oil. Well, it's because you got to drill down. It's under the ground. You got to learn how to get it. So this is what we're doing this morning. We're learning how to get the blessing. We're learning how to tap into the most powerful resource that is available on earth through the kingdom of God. You see, I know it's not a lack of faith because Matthew chapter 17 and starting in verse 19, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Mustard seed faith is mountain-moving faith. Now, I might not be the brightest guy around, but I understand that a mustard seed is pretty small, right? Mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. God isn't saying that you have to have piles of faith laying around in your backyard to be able to move a mountain. God is saying that if you have this much faith, you can move a mountain. So that's why I'm saying I don't think it's the lack of faith. I think that, look, if you're here today, and you've received salvation through Jesus Christ, you've done so through faith. You believed in God. When we read the scripture, when we come to God, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of faith. So if you don't believe in God and you think that he's not real, your first problem is that you need to believe that he is. And once you believe that he is, you come to him. And when you give your life to him, when you make the confession, when you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I make you today the Lord of my life. Please come and make yourself real to me. I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead. When we do that, even though you couldn't prove it to anybody, you know on the inside of you that something changed. That when you're born again, you become a new creation. I remember the moment where I had this radical encounter with God, and I suddenly became aware that I was a new creation. I'm telling you, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, the birds chirped louder and nicer. You know, sometimes it would just sound like there was crows, but it's like after you get saved, it's just like songbirds everywhere. I'm just telling you, like, it's like the most incredible experience when you get saved. And no matter what, if someone were to come and take, you know, scripture, if someone was to come to me and try and argue with me and prove to me you're not saved, you can't prove to me that you're saved, I'd be like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I can't prove to you that I'm saved, but I know that I am. I know that I am. I've been changed. There's something different on the inside of me. Because when you're born of the Spirit, your spirit man is born. It's not a physical birth. It's your spirit man being created. I am born again. And so, if you've made that decision, then your faith is how you receive salvation. Now, if you're a Christian here today, I guarantee that you wouldn't argue with me on that fact, that through my faith and through my believing in Jesus and my confession of Him as my Lord, that I'm saved. You wouldn't argue with that. Now, you can take that same faith. You see, you already have faith. Sometimes we're focused on how do I get more faith. It's not so much as how do I get more faith. It's how do I take the faith that I already have, which if you have enough, this little bit, you can move a mountain. How do I take that faith and begin to move the mountains that are in my life? What are the mountains in your life? I don't know. For everyone, it could be something different. It might be a relationship. It might be a sickness. It might be disease. It might be a financial situation. There's any number of things. Maybe you don't sleep well at night. Maybe you have suicidal thoughts. Maybe there's any number of things. But if we can learn how to take a tiny little bit of faith, we can use that to change and to completely remove the mountains that are in our life. So it's not about becoming the most mighty man and woman of faith and like making big claims about how big your faith is. It's about how do we utilize the faith that we already have. The Bible says that every man and woman has been given a measure of faith. How do we use the measure of faith that we already have? We just need to begin to put it to work. So is faith by... Look, if you've attended here for years, the years that we've been going, you know that confession is something that I love to preach on. I talk about it a lot. So you could begin to wonder, is confession, is speaking the word, is this the only way that we use our faith? Is this the only way that we release or activate our faith? Absolutely not. There's plenty of different ways. You know, you can look at the life of Jesus, and He told and did a lot of strange things. He told people to do some weird things. He found one guy that was blind. He spit in the dirt, made some mud, stuffed it in the guy's eyes, and now He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. When that man decided, I'm going to go wash in this pool, even though I look stupid, walking around town with mud all over my face, blind, as it were, I look like a moron, but I'm going to go do this anyway because Jesus said to do it. And he gets in there and he gets healed. He was operating by faith. He activated his faith. So is speaking the word the only way? No. The Lord might tell you to do something. When Peter and John came to the guy at the temple, the beautiful gate, and he's sitting there begging, he told them, stand up. That guy had a choice. He didn't have to stand up, but when he did, he was healed. He activated his faith by acting according to the word of God. So there's different ways. The Lord might tell you to run when you physically can't run. The Lord might tell you to bend over because you have back pain and just believe God that it's healed. The Lord might tell you to dance. He might tell you to shout and the walls will come crumbling down. He might tell you to do something totally bizarre, and whatever He tells you to do, the important thing to do is what He says to do, and that's activating your faith. But if you live long enough as a Christian, then you might know as well as I do that that doesn't always happen, where sometimes you're wishing, like, Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. So, and sometimes maybe it's our fault that we're not hearing clearly enough from the Word. We're not hearing clearly enough from the Holy Spirit. But maybe there's just like, for some reason, we're not getting that direction as to go do something totally bizarre. So then what do you do? Because you still face situations where you need to be healed. You still face situations that you need them to change. What can we do? This is why I love this subject of confession, because you can always speak the word of God. No one's going to stop you. No one can stop you. Someone wants to tell you, if you keep talking about the word of God, I'll kill you. Great, I'll go to heaven, and then my problems are solved anyway, right? You'll still be down here on earth like as a murderer, nonetheless, and you'll be miserable, right? So, look, I'm just saying, no one can stop you from speaking the word. All right. So we need to be able to activate our faith on a daily basis. You see, releasing our faith through confession is perhaps the easiest way to release our faith. The important thing, as I've said, is not how much faith necessarily you have, but it's activating it. Tell me, be honest with me, is it difficult for you to look up a few scriptures and begin to speak them over your life? Does it take a lot of physical effort to do so? Right? It takes a little bit of time. It takes some doing, but it's not a big deal. Right? So why don't we do it? Lazy faith. Right? So we have to figure out a way. We have to figure out what we need to do, and then we have to begin. Look, it's no different like, you know, you go to a doctor and, you know, let's just say he's not like a doctor from today. Let's say he's a doctor from like 60 years ago. Today, doctor, you go there and they're just like, here, take these pills. But, you know, years ago, they used to actually tell you what you can do to actually help yourself, right? They used to actually say, oh, you need a diet and exercise and drink more water and eat healthy, you know, green foods. They used to actually try to help people. Now they're just like, oh, don't worry, we'll just sell you these pills, whatever. But when back in the day, when you go to the doctor, they would tell you something that you could do and that would help you. But if you're like, you go to the doctor, he tells you, look, if you go home and you start eating a healthy diet and you start, you know, walking and you start doing some exercise, you'll start seeing some changes in your life, and you come home and you're just happy and you're like, man, this is so great. The doctor says, I just got to do these things. I'm going to be all better. Life is looking good. Everything's on the upside and things are just great. And then you just sit down on your couch and you do absolutely none of what he says. What do you think is going to change in your life? Right? Ridiculous. No one in their right mind would do that. Yet we do that with the Word of God. We do as Christians. Maybe I'm just talking about myself. I won't lump you guys in with me. But there's been plenty of times where I know that I should be speaking life. I should speak the Word of God into this situation, but for whatever reason, lazy faith. You know, the hardest thing about starting an exercise plan is like day number one, right? You know, generally, if you can get yourself to go day number one, you can do day number two, and then you can develop into a routine. But there's something really difficult about getting something that is stationary moving forward, about something, about taking that first step. We have a tendency just to stay where we're at. And maybe you find yourself in this position where, yeah, you know what, you're right. I don't really speak the Word of God on a regular basis. You know, I come to church Sunday, even maybe Wednesday night. I love Jesus. You know, I love praise and worship, and I love it. But what are you doing on a consistent daily basis to activate, to put your faith to use, to work for you? You see, and most of us unknowingly, we're actually doing the exact opposite. We're putting problems to work for us because that's what we tend to talk about. If you're facing a negative situation, if you're facing relationship problem, money problems, health problems, what is it that you're talking about? Your problems. You go on Facebook, you write about it to all your friends. You know, life just sucks, my dog committed suicide, whatever. Like, you know, you go on there and you write about, like, these horrible things. I mean, look, I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but I'm just saying we have a tendency as people to focus on the negative side of things. Now, we get the choice. Every single time we're facing a situation, we have the choice. We get to choose. The Bible says, choose this day. Choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or choose curse. We get to choose. And when we choose how we speak about that situation, we're choosing whether we're going to produce life or whether we're going to produce death. Whether we're going to produce blessing or whether we're going to produce curse. Whether we're going to activate our faith or let our faith do nothing for us. Right? You guys probably knew it was coming, so turn with me to your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. I can quote it for you. You could quote it for me, but there's just something good about reading it. That way you can't just say the preacher said so, you could say the Bible said so, and know it for yourself. And that's an important thing to do, is to know the scripture for yourself, not just know who said this and who said that. You know, I have family members that, you know, believe a certain way, and when I talk to them, you know, I mean, when I talk to them about what the Word of God says, they don't care what the Bible says because so-and-so said this and so said that. And it's like, well, where did they get it from? I mean, what are they talking about? That doesn't line up with the Word of God. You better make sure that you know the Word of God for the situation that you're believing to change. You have to know it for yourself, not just know what somebody else said about it. I was talking with my dad the other day, and my dad, you know, I mean, and my mom, they lived in Israel for, 7 years, and they have a huge heart to for the Israeli people and to win them back to the Lord. And, you know, we were talking about why perhaps one of the reasons is that they don't, more of them aren't being converted to Jesus. I mean, you would think that they grew up with the Old Testament. You would think that they would be able to study the Old Testament and see that, you know what, actually, Jesus did fulfill all the prophecies that were spoken of him. It's true. You can just study the Old Testament without ever having the New Testament and find out that, yes, everything in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus as being the Savior, right? Why aren't the Jews then figuring that out? Because they don't read the Old Testament. They read what so-and-so said about the Old Testament. They read the Talmud and they read these other things. That's the biggest problem, is that people are reading about the Bible. People are hearing about the Bible. But hearing about the Bible and reading about the Bible isn't reading the Bible. You got to get it on the inside for yourself. Amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. So Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 says, death and life, I want you to say that after me, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I know we use our tongues for different things, primarily eating and talking. And, you know, I guess, you know, if you're primarily doing, you know, using it for eating, you know, you might solve one of your problems right there. You know, you should be doing more talking than eating. Anyway, look, I'm just saying, it's kind of like a joke, whatever. But we use our tongue for talking. We use our tongue for words. So when it says life and death is in the power of the tongue, life and death are in the power of our words that we're speaking, right? So this scripture here, it's so important because it emphasizes the importance of the words that we speak. You see, as I said, our words shape the existence of our life today. Why? Because they're an expression of our heart. Our words are an expression of what's on the inside of us. Jesus said so. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "For the out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of the heart, a person speaks. Believing is done in the heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what you have in your heart and say with your mouth is creating your existence all around you, is creating situations around you. You might say, yeah, well, I can't control what so-and-so does and what everyone else does. You're right. But you can control the way you respond to those situations. And the way that you respond to any given situation will determine how you are impacted by it. You can't control the way everyone else is impacted a situation, but I can control that when the economy crashes, that my economy doesn't crash. Because my economy is tied to the kingdom of God's economy. And kingdom of God's economy is not experiencing a recession. Right? The stock market did not crash in heaven. So if that is what I'm rooted and grounded in, then no matter what everyone else down here is experiencing, I'm experiencing something different. So what you have in your heart and you say with your mouth will create your existence. So we're either creating life with our words or we're creating death. This is extremely important. So how do we speak life? Let me show you what life is from the Word. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 6. I know we're going through a lot of scriptures, but like I said, I want you to see from the Word of God how we can actually do this. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what is the power in? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So we need to speak life. So this Jesus is saying, I am the life. So what exactly does that mean? We need to speak Jesus. How do we do that? Turn over to John chapter 1. I'm telling you, we're getting somewhere. We're about to figure this thing out. John chapter 1 and verse 1. What's it say? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? Go down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what's that talking about? Jesus, right? So in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was the Word made flesh, and Jesus was the life. Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, then if we want to experience life, then we have to begin to speak Jesus. How do you speak Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. We begin to speak the Word. I promise you, you can say whatever you want about your situation, but if you want to experience life, if you want to have a positive outcome in your situation, you have to begin to figure out, what does the Word say about my situation? What does God say about my situation? What does God say about me? So many of us, we know exactly what everyone says about us, but what does God say about us? You know, it doesn't even really matter what you say about you or what you think about you. What does God think about me? The Bible says that I'm the apple of God's eye. That means God likes me. So to be honest, I don't care if you don't like me. Because I know that God likes me. As long as I will diligently seek Him, as long as I'm pursuing after Him, I know that God will reward me. And He loves me. And He wants to take care of me. And He wants to bless me. That's why He's removed us from the curse and put us into the blessing. Right? That's why He's given us every spiritual blessing that is in heaven. He loves us so much. So I don't care what the bank says about me. I don't care what the doctor says about me. I don't care what the report on the news says about my living situation in this region. I don't care. What I do care about is, what does God say about me? God says I'm the head and not the tail. God says I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. God says that He will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? God says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, right? So you see, I got to begin to say that. That's what matters. That's what's going to change your situation around for you. But you actually have to do it. This is, if you guys go home today and you're like, man, that was so encouraging. Like, that pastor, he just got away with his words. He likes to, you know, he really knows how to say it. He really preached up a storm, whatever. Maybe I'm being too generous about myself. But that's what I'm attempting to do. Anyway, you might like what I'm saying, but if you don't actually do the prescription, if you don't actually take the medicine, if you don't do what this says to do, then it won't do anything for you. You're like the person that went to the doctor, got the instruction, and then went home and did none of it. So if we want to shape our life, and I'm you know, I got frustrated with my own confession the other day. You know, my wife or my mom was sharing, she went to the healing school, and one of the things they gave her down there was this book of confessions that you can make, and oh, she has it there. Well, you know what? I'm going to work on trying to get a copy of that and to make it available to everybody, because it's really full of good stuff. It's really full of just, really what it is just a book full of confessions that you can say about yourself. And so Andy gave me his copy. I guess they had two. And so every morning for the last few days, my wife and I, we wake up and we go through this confession and we speak the word over us. We speak the word because, like, most of the time you wake up, what's the first thing you do? You grab your phone, you pull it over, you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you see that the world still sucks and, like, all these problems are going on. And, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you see that your friends are, like, on this most incredible vacation and you're in Brockport. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how we start our day. We're not starting our day confessing the word of God. But I promise you, I'm not lying. My wife and I, we feel a difference when we wake up and we're speaking the words of life, when we're speaking Jesus into our situation, when we're speaking the word of God. Like I said, I don't care what my situation tells me. I don't care about your situation because the word of God is still true. You have to make the word of God an absolute authority in your life so that you don't care what everything else is going on, what's going on around me. Flu season. Perfect. I love flu season. It's the best time for me to go out and pray for people to have miracles. Amen? That should be the attitude of the Christian. Not let's hunker down, get 6 cans of Campbell's soup and a couple boxes of tissues, some NyQuil, and go lay in bed for 6 days. No, that should not be the Christian's response to flu season. We should say, Jesus said, go out and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That should be our response. But how are you going to respond like that if you're at home laying in bed all, you know, tissues stuffed up your nose and just trying to... Like, come on. Like, we can't... You see what I mean? So... We got it. We got to get the ship moving in the right direction. How can we do that? You can wait for the gifts of the Spirit to be a manifestation, but the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills. But the Spirit can't stop me from speaking the Word of God. Amen? The Spirit might determine whether I can operate in miracles, whether I can speak in tongues with interpretation. The Spirit might be able to determine if I have a word of wisdom or word of knowledge, but He cannot determine when I can speak the Word of God. The only one that can determine that is me. Confession is like a ship, right? If you can get that ship moving in one direction, that thing gets some momentum going, and it becomes really hard to stop. You know, I was watching this video the other day. Sometimes I like watching the fail videos where things, you know, people go out and do stupid stuff. And there's this big cruise ship in port, and it's like, I think it was like, you know, I don't understand how those things do it, but they got like some sort of side engines or side propellers that like launch themselves. My dad's like a shipmaster, so you can just ask him if you're interested. But, you know, somehow it like makes itself launch out sideways. And anyway, it was turning, and you could see in the video that it did not see the pier that was parked right next to it. And like, even after like they tried to stop and correct itself, it crashed into the pier anyway because it had some momentum going. When you get momentum going in confession and start speaking the words of life, it'll begin to change, and it'll begin so much to impact your life so much that when people and situations try to stop it, they can't. The problem that we're facing is that for so much of our life, we've been speaking the negative side of life. We've been speaking words of death. We've been speaking words what our situation is that that's what has the momentum. So that even though I believe in healing, even though I believe that God wants me blessed and healthy and taken care of, even though I have all of that, my words have created this momentum that are stopping me from receiving it. So here's what we got to do. We got to stop the ship that's moving the wrong way and get it going the other way. Some of you guys, maybe your ship's, you know, on the dry dock and it's been under operation for like the last 6 years and it's not going nowhere. Well, you got to get your ship back out to sea and we got to get some forward momentum. We got to start speaking the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We're fixing. We're going to fix up our ship. We're going to fix up our confession. We're going to find out what the Word of God says about me. And then we're going to begin to speak that and speak life, not death, speak life over our situation, over our life every single day. And then I guarantee my objective is that next fall, when everyone starts talking about the cold and the flu, we won't hear about it at River Church. Everyone will be like, yeah, man, everyone at work's sick, but I'm not. I'm not eating, you know, Campbell's soup. I'm eating some steak. And I can taste it, you know? It's the worst when you're at home and there's this delicious food and you're like eating it and you're like, oh, this is going to be so great. You tear in the first piece and you don't even taste it. You're like, come on. That shouldn't be us. We've been taken from the curse and put into the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'll give you an example of one way that we've done this with our church. When we first started our church, you know, in 2014, for like a year, there's like, you know, 10 people. And look, I'm happy to minister whether there's two, one. If you guys weren't here today, I would minister to my wife, and I'd be all right with that. I wouldn't be as happy as I am without all of you here today. But look, I'd still be here ministering to my wife. But back then, you know, like we had like just a few people, and you know, 10 people would come, and you're like, praise God, revival's breaking out. And then like, you know, next week we're back to like four. And so like, you know, now my parents are, you know, back, you know, they were out of town. Now my parents are back, and, you know, we got four of us all together, you know, and you're just like, what the heck, you know? But I determined, it was about after a year, and we weren't really seeing growth. I determined that we don't have a small church. Because I determined that the size of our church wasn't going to be determined by the words of my mouth, but that's what I had been doing. You know, you'd ask me about the church, how's it going? Well, we got a small church, just got a few people coming. How do you ever expect something to grow when that is your attitude and the words of your heart? You see, what you speak is an expression of what is on the inside of you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I'm talking about it, that's what I felt on the inside. I believed it, I spoke it, and that kept it small. But when I begin to say, no, we don't got a small church, we have a growing church. We changed. We have a growing church. Amen? And so that's what, you know, and anytime, like, you know, I start struggling with things, it's when I've backed off of confession. That's the thing that we need to avoid. And that's why I like to preach on this so much, not just for you all, but for me. I'm stirring myself up. Man, I love confession. I'm just going to confess my way all the way to the blessing. You know what I mean? Look, if you guys enjoy this, if you get a benefit out of this, I'm glad that you did, but I shared this for me this morning. I'm leaving here praising the Lord. I'm leaving here blessing God, thanking Him for all that He's done for me. And my hope is that some of you guys join in. Because we're out of time, I'm going to skip the rest of my stuff, and I'll just go to you know, a couple examples of confession. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 1. And, you know, my mom, she got ahead of me, and she already announced to you that she'll be sharing this Wednesday night. My wife and I will be in a conference in a wonderful faith church in Texas. And so my mom's going to be here, and she's going to be sharing along these lines as well. How do you meditate in the Word, and how do you really, you know, get this to become a part of your daily life? So make sure you're here this Wednesday night, 7 p.m., to hear from her. Psalm 23 and verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if you have an NIV or some translations, they say, "I lack nothing." The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I'm going to make that a confession that I want to say this every single day. I'm going to wake up saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." I lack nothing. What does that mean? I'm not lacking health because I'm healthy. I'm not lacking provision because I'm prosperous. I'm not lacking sleep because the Lord lays me down in green pasture so that I can rest. He gives His beloved rest. I'm not anxious because I've taken my burdens to the Lord and He's taken them from me. And I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about today. I'm just blessed. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. You see, when you begin to do the Word and you begin to speak the Word, then you're empowering the Word to take part in your life. When you're speaking your situation, you're empowering your situation to speak, to take part in ownership in your life. We have to give the Word ownership in our life. We have to give Jesus. So I challenge you this week, what is the mountain in your life? Figure out, if you don't know what the mountain is, you just figure out what that is, and then begin to speak to it with the words of life. Amen? Hallelujah. 3 John 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Look, I know there's a group of people out there that hate prosperity preaching because there was a bunch of preachers in the 80s and 90s that screwed it up. But look, it's scriptural. 3 John 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." All things. That includes my bank account. That includes the car that I drive. That includes the house that I live in. That includes my family. And it doesn't just stop with prosperous people. They're always talking about health and wealth. Those faith preachers, they never get off of it. This is why I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Man, If I could have a favorite scripture, this is probably it. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. If you don't like prosperity, if you would rather be sad, if you like struggle, if you like sickness, if you like, you know, the struggle is real, if you like that, go to a different church. I promise you, you'll be much sadder there. But in the sense that you want to be sad, right? That's, look, if you're going to come here, you're going to be happy. Or you're going to leave. You're going to be like, those people are crazy, and I'm not going back, but they were happy, that's for sure. Look, I've never been to a church where people were so happy. I've never been to a church where people clapped and, you know, praised the Lord, and they actually looked joyful. Hallelujah. If the writer of this scripture was writing to the beloved, the group of people that he was sharing to, if it was scriptural for him to write, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, prosper in all things and be in health. If it was scriptural for them to prosper in all things and be in health, if he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it to them, well then, doesn't it apply to you and me? It absolutely does. This is the Word of God. I wish I could say like, yeah, you know, I just heard a bunch of preachers talking about prosperity and so I just believe it. No, that's not true. I have the Word of God. We have the Word of God that says that God desires that you are blessed, that you are prospering, that you are healthy. So when sickness tries to come, when anxiety tries to come, when sleeplessness tries to come, we're not going to accept it. We're going to begin to speak life. Our ship is going to be moving forward, and those situations might, man, if you see one of those big ships out there, you know, my dad, he was on an aircraft carrier, and those things, they used to be, they go over like a 50, 60-foot wave. You know, people talk about, oh, the storms of life, you know, whatever. But when you're on that big cruiser, when you're in that big ship, it doesn't matter what the storms of life are doing. You're just going right over the top of it. You're going right through it. If we can get the momentum going with our confession, where we're speaking the Word of God on a consistent basis and we're speaking life, I know that your life will change.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.